Would a more united Europe help fix the global economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you think it's tough to fix this economy with divided government, try doing it with multiple governments. That's what European leaders are grappling with. And after a high-profile meeting yesterday between the presidents of Germany and France, the question is, would a more united Europe help? Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from our European desk in London with more. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, first tell us what came out of this meeting yesterday between President Sarkozy of France and German President Merkel.
A plan for what they call an economic government for the 17 countries in the Eurozone. The 17 leaders would meet at least twice a year and, we're told, coordinate the economies and the public spending of the 17 countries to avoid the sort of huge deficits we've seen in Greece, Ireland and Portugal.
So more coordination. Is this the United States of Europe that people have been talking about for years, Stephen?
It's a very small tentative step down that road, and it doesn't really deal with the present debt crisis. Investors are certainly underwhelmed by it, says Steve Barrow, currency strategist at Standard Bank.
We've heard all this sort of thing before from Eurozone leaders about closer integration, cooperation. It's not worked in the past, and I don't think it will work now.
Investors want something a lot more concrete. They want the Eurozone leaders to show us the money. They want to know that the bailout fund's going to be increased so it can bail out Spain and Italy if need be. Or they want euro bonds. They want one type of government bond issued across the whole of the Eurozone, backed by the whole of the Eurozone. That would be a much bigger step to down the road towards a United States of Europe. France and Germany haven't taken that step, however, because there's so much public opposition to it, especially in Germany, which would pick up much of the tab.
Marketplace's Jerry Maguire, rather Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, let's continue with special coverage, The Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time. We're going to look now at how ordinary Americans have been responding to all the mayhem in the markets with their own investment portfolios. David Lazarus is the consumer columnist at the LA Times, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, David, did individual investors learn anything from the last crisis in which many of them lost a lot of money?
I'd say yeah, but the evidence is still anecdotal. There really isn't a lot of evidence that the little guy sold a lot of stocks as we had this roller coaster ride of the stock market, meaning that buy and hold, which some had been saying was completely passe, isn't so passe after all. So I think we got a real sense that the little guy learned that when the market goes completely topsy-turvy, you hit the sidelines and wait it out.
But how are you supposed to wait it out when you're sitting there, maybe you're 2 years away from retirement, and you're watching the market go down, 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 or up and down? What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, that's the real test, actually. And my advice to people is just take some Dramamine and deal with it, because you can't win that game. And we live in an age where there are supercomputers trading within milliseconds. You have to just sit back and let them do their thing when the market is having these wild gyrations. When the market is fed by emotion, pure and simple, you have to learn how to keep your emotions under control. So rather than being Captain Kirk, you want to be Mr. Spock.
Well, have people pulled away from the market in a big way? Have people decided that they're just not going to play the game at all because the only people making any money are these high-frequency traders, as you say?
I think they understand that. But at the same time, with the Fed keeping interest rates at near zero in perpetuity,
yeah,
I think a lot of people understand that if you want to make any money, they have to have some skin in the game, meaning that their 401k or their 529 education plan or something is going to be exposed to stocks in one way or another. And what that means for the little guy is you've got to know your risk tolerance and you've got to have a portfolio that can withstand anything the market is going to throw at you.
David, have you been keeping calm through all of this with your own retirement fund, or have you been taking Dramamine and getting out of the room?
Dramamine, yes, and I also haven't been looking. I find I sleep better at night when I don't go online and don't look at what my funds are doing on any given day.
Probably the best advice we've heard all day. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Well, stocks are mostly lower in overseas trading this morning, down about 0.5% in London, same in Tokyo. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 76 points to close at 11,405.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
We'll get quarterly earnings reports this morning from Target and Abercrombie & Fitch, and maybe they'll say something that'll lighten the mood in the retail sector after Walmart said yesterday that its U.S. sales were down for the 9th straight quarter. So what's the matter with the world's largest retailer? Here's Marketplace's Eve Troeh.
Walmart's always sold itself as a low-price leader, and customers bought that until the last few years. Now it's been challenged from above and below, says Bud Bugatch with investment firm Raymond James.
The dollar stores. That's who people most often compare them to.
By people, he means shoppers, the ones looking even harder than before for the very best deals. But competition's also been coming from the fancier discounter, Target. It's cut prices to lure families who fled to Walmart in the recession, and Target has tried to look more wallish, too.
Converting almost all of its stores to include supermarkets with drugstores, with discount stores.
That's Bert Flickinger at Strategic Resource Group. He says the discount retail space, where Walmart used to be top dog, is now a dog pile, with everyone from grocery stores to warehouse clubs jumping into the fray. I'm Eve Troeh for Marketplace.
Well, speaking of dogs, a reminder that it is the human economy that it's in trouble, not the pet economy. According to the largest pet insurance company in the UK, plastic surgery claims have gone up 25% over the last 3 years for pets. Now, in fairness, most of it is medical and not cosmetic, but not all. Some dogs have undergone chin lifts to curb excessive drooling and facelifts to help with eyelids that droop too much. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Small businesses create most of the new jobs in this country. Lose them, too, when they go under. So how to know a business is going to stick?
If a business owner shows that, yes, not only did I pay myself, but I paid a couple of other employees, you are really destined for success.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the business side of the economy. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.